we have a larger group today, and I know that there are some students from Douglas College. And when I'm walking into the meditation room, I happen to ask questions, where are they from and what are they doing in here? They said they're taking a course. It's called Eastern Religion course. So is that the purpose of coming here? Fulfilling a credit? What's the purpose of coming to a meditation? Because your professor told you to come? What's the reason? Or you have to sign for attendance so that you can get an A? If the reason for coming here is just to fulfill the requirement of a course, you only satisfy half of the objective. What is more important is, why do you come here? Because you were told to come here? Because you were taking the Eastern Religion course? You come here, you want to get something, right? What do you want to get? Well, if you have questions, when we are having lunch, immediately after lunch you can ask questions. But right now I have half an hour, and I know that students are taking an Eastern Religion course, beginners in the philosophy of Buddhism. If I explain Paticca-samuppada, only for those who are at a more or less advanced level that we have in here, they understand. If you listen to me explaining Paticca-samuppada, you probably don't know what I'm talking about. But let's start by something very simple. You are taking a course that is called Eastern Religion. What is religion? What is a religion? If you say the definition of religion is there's a God, our religion has ceremonies, religions have rituals, religion is a belief, religions have some guidelines in it, some literature in it. Is that how you define a religion? First of all, what is the God concept? If you define religion as having a God concept, Buddhism is not a religion, because Buddhism is not a blind belief in a God. There's so many gods, so many gods. If you say God is the creator, he's the beginning of the universe. So you're talking about a beginning and an end. Sometimes it's illogical to think of a beginning and an end. If there is a beginning, there must be an end. If there's an end, there's nihilism. That means at the end, everything is gone at the end. So why do we have to worry about the beginning? Since everybody will go, so why do we have to worry about the beginning? So all these things, does it trigger something in your mind? The other day there was a question asked, why do we have to ask why all the time? Just learn the hows of life. Just do what we habitually do, that's enough. That's not enough. You have to ask why. Why is it like that? To clear up all your doubts. So how do we answer that question, why? Why do we get born into this world? Why do we come here? For 100 years, if you live up to 100 years, and after 100 years, when you're 100 years old, you died. And during this 100 years, you've gone through a lot. Your babyhood, your childhood, your adulthood, we've gone through a lot. We've passed through the three dimensions of time, past, the present, and the future. Why do we have to come at all into this world? Where do we go after we died? Why? A lot of whys. Why people are so inequitable? Why are some people rich? Why are some people poor? Why are some people handsome? Why are some people ugly? Why some beautiful? Some, so many inequities of life. Why? Do we have to get answers for those? Yesterday, there was a young man coming in here, asked a question. He was a master in engineering, quite successful in his job, and he was sitting alone in the cafeteria eating. And when I came into the cafeteria, he started started to get into conversation, and he said, I haven't been happy. I don't know why. I make quite a bit of money by being a partner in a firm, in an engineering firm, but I don't feel happy. When I was at school, I graduated from UBC. I was struggling to get pass all the courses, and then I get my engineering degree, I get a good job, and then I get married, and then I have two children now, and how come now? What am I getting? Is the purpose of life just making money? And I think I've been happy, but now I think that I'm not happy at all. Well, what's the problem? What's my problems? We need to get answers for this. And the answers don't just come to you at one session of a Dharma talk. There's so many that we have to know about life. But do we not need to know where did we come from? We're looking at Paticca Samuppada in here. Did you see that paper? Paticca Samuppada, dependent origination. What is Paticca Samuppada? Paticca Samuppada is dependent origination, and it explains the chain of causation that leads from birth to death. In other words, it explains reincarnation. It explains birth and death. It explains somehow how we come here, why we come here into this world. So just as a simple review, why don't we go through it? Dependent origination, there's 12 links. It explains reincarnation. Anybody who does not know what reincarnation, do you know a little bit about reincarnation? Those who don't know anything at all about reincarnation, raise your hand. So everybody know a little bit of reincarnation. That's sufficient. That's the basic foundation for understanding Paticca Samuppada. Number one, Avijja Paccaya Sankhara. Now that is a Pali language. Translated in English, that means dependent on ignorance, volitional reaction arises. What does that mean? Avijja is ignorance. Paccaya is dependent on or conditional upon. Sankhara is volitional reactions. It means because of our ignorance, volitional reaction arises. Ignorance is in my mind, in our mind, and because of that ignorance, we perform behavior, we perform speech, we perform thinking. What does that mean? What do we do in our daily lives? In our daily lives, our body performs behavior, our mouth performs speech, our mind performs thinking. Now, all these is related to our consciousness. If in our consciousness we have ignorance, then we perform with ignorance. Because of ignorance, because of mental afflictions, for example, well, we have fear, jealousy, disappointment, hatred, anger, greediness, all this ignorance, because of ignorance, we perform accordingly because of our ignorance. Because of ignorance, we kill. Because of ignorance, we steal. Because of ignorance, we lie. Because of ignorance, we curse, we fight, we struggle. We do a lot of things because of our ignorance. But once that is performed, behavior performed, speeches arising, what is created? Energy is created. When energy is created, that means karma is created. Every action, every speech, every thought creates energy in the common English language. Energy, the Buddha said, define it as karma. Karma is created for not just in the thought, not just in the action, not just in the speech, as minute as the thought will create that energy. So because of this ignorance, we perform, we create karma. And karma has good karma, bad karma, and neutral karma. Karma is not just bad, you know. Karma could be good. Sometimes you're compassionate, you're kind, you're generous, you're helpful. Sometimes you create good karma, sometimes you create bad karma, and sometimes neutral karma. But when karma is created, what happened? When the effect is germinated, is sowed in the field of consciousness, when the time comes, when an action is performed, the result will come up. When the effect is sowed in the field of consciousness, the effect will come out. Depending on ignorance, all this volitional reaction arises. And depending on volitional reactions, consciousness arises. Because of this karma that we created, when we died, what happened? When we died, the Buddha said, when we die, we roll into the next life. So the Buddha's teaching said, time is not just of the present life. The Buddhist perspective of time is very wide. The past, present, and the future. And the past relates not just to the last year, not just to 20 years ago, 30 years ago. It relates to many, many lives ago. Our past karma in previous life influence on what we are suffering now or what we are enjoying now. So what you are today is what you have created for yourself yesterday or in a previous life. So you are responsible for your own actions, your speech, not God. You are the creator of your own destiny. You create your own life. Given that, what kind of lesson you learn from this? You create your own life. In other words, you have the option to create bad karma or good karma. Which option you choose? Do you want to continuously creating bad karma so that you suffer more and more? Or you want to create good karma? Unfortunately, most people carelessly performing more bad karma than good karma. That's why we have stealing, killing, raping, you name it, all kinds of evil actions that we have performed. That's bad karma. So 1, 2, and 3 explain the past life. Because of this ignorance, you are what you are today. You know, what if you want to know, what did I do in my previous life? You don't have to ask God. You don't have to look at the crystal ball to go to a gypsy place where you look at a crystal ball and you do some ballads, you know, what all kinds of magic tricks to tell you about your previous life. Whatever you have, whatever you encounter today is the effect of what you have done in the past. In other words, you're healthy, you're rich because you already have sowed the cause of being healthy. For example, you didn't kill animals, you protect animals, and in your previous life you were so generous that you always help out, then you are rich. In this life, you become affluent. In previous life, you always praise people, you never accuse people or condemn people or curse on people. The sutra says, because of this, you have a good appearance. So you, whatever you have in this life, you know that's what you have done in your previous life. How come some people are more clever than the others? In their previous life, they sow the seeds of cleverness. In what way? So many ways to sow the seed of cleverness. So depending on ignorance, volitional action arises. Depending on the volitional actions, consciousness arises. Because of all what we have done in the past, then everything you have done got stored in your consciousness, and this consciousness is invisible. Some people call it the soul, This consciousness rolls into this life, and this consciousness will again get polluted in this life and roll into the next life. Only when you purify your consciousness, then you don't keep on rolling into reincarnation. And sometimes we call it nirvana. You purify completely, no more reincarnation. What is the purpose of learning to become the Buddha, we call it? Learning to become the Buddha is not to learn to become God, or not to learn to go to heaven. Learning to be the Buddha is to stop all this ignorance, purify your consciousness. So depending on volitional reaction consciousness arises, this consciousness, the polluted consciousness, will continue to roll life after life. The third, depending on consciousness, the mind and body arises. On the Pali side, it's vinana, paccaya, nama, rupa. Depending on consciousness, the mind and body arises. Talking about this life now, how do you come about in this life? Because of what you have done in your previous life? Because of these volitional actions? Because of ignorance? Because of bad karma, good karma? Then it tainted your consciousness, and with that consciousness, it gets to roll into this life. Now, when a person died, the body no more function, but the consciousness is still there. Or somebody called it the soul. The Buddha called it the alaya consciousness. The alaya consciousness would leave the body and become the bardo stage at the juncture of death. So in other words, when a person passed away, what happened to him? The body dies, no more body. You already have leased that body for your lifetime, and the lease expires, the dues. You can't renew your lease anymore. The body, this body is not the real you. Who are you? You think this body is you? This body is just your apartment. When the time expires, you got to leave. But that consciousness in there, you carry that into the next life. Consciousness is energy. How big is that energy? It's unlimited. It's like the memory, unlimited memory in your computer. Everything that you key in, all your bad things, good things, you key in the keyboard, it gets stored in there, never go away. The computer collapsed, no more computer. But that memory is always there, it gets rolled into the next one. It's just like when you take out that disk drive, the hardware no more. But that software, that's an example. Even that software is invisible. But in this case, of course, there's an example only. That software, unlimited memory, you put it into the next computer. All the bad things you have done, it gets stored. Good things get stored. So depending on this consciousness, when a person dies, the polluted consciousness becomes the bardo stage. It strings into a bardo, we call it the bardo. That bardo is always in gloominess, in darkness, for 49 days. We call it the bardo stage, before reincarnation, before the actual reincarnation. When a person dies, in the 49 days approximately, he's roaming about. Some people die immediately and immediately reincarnate. Some people roam about for 49 days. They're still around. They're still around family members, still around the house, in the bardo stage. But relatively a dark phenomena, a dark environment. And when a man and a woman have a relationship, it sparkles light. And this consciousness, being in gloominess for so long, is interested in what kind of light. When a man and a woman, so to speak, make love, that sparkle a light. And this consciousness, of course, is related to this man and woman somehow in previous life or in this life. And then he zoomed into that light because he's interested in looking at that light because he has been in darkness for so long. And he zooms into the mom's womb, becomes the baby. We call it mind and body arises. That baby has mind and body too. But the body is not yet mature. The mind is just that polluted consciousness. So depending on consciousness, the mind and body means zooms into the mom's body. Ready for the next life, because you die already. Number four, depending on the mind and consciousness, the sixth sense arises. And then that baby develops in the mom's womb. With eyes, nose, ears, slowly developing within the 10 months. Some baby comes out in 7 months, 6 months, 8 months, but not more than 10 months, maybe 9 months, 7 months. So the six senses, the eyes, the nose, the ear, eyes, nose, ear, the body, the tongue, and of course, the mental, the brain. So the six senses arises, and the number five, depending on the six senses, contact arises. Then what happened? Then the baby comes out, it's mature, it gets contact with the world. Contact arises. Everybody gone through that process. Contact arises. And then when contact arises, depending on contact, feelings arises. So when you are about, when you are a baby, you have feelings. Feelings of joy. When you feel happy, when a baby feels happy, smiles. Unhappy, cried. So feelings, you got feelings. Pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, pleasant feelings, or neutral feelings. Baby have feelings. And then as the baby go into more and more mature, dependent on feelings, craving and aversion arises. That person, that sentient being, has craving now. He craves for something that is pleasant, and he hates something that is unpleasant. Like you and me, we've gone through all that. Then you develop your feeling into craving now, and aversion now. And then you slowly develop into adults. And because of craving and aversion, clinging arises. You cling to things you love. You hate things you don't love. So you create a lot of mental afflictions. And we always summarize it into, say, jealousy, hatred, greediness, disappointment, fear, depression, fraudulence, anger, violence. You name them, so many of these afflictions. Slowly they develop those. And you cling to things, you cling to materials. You like reputation, you like fame, you like money, you like materials, you like good food, you like beautiful clothes, you like anything that attracts you, that makes you feel good. You forever will be, for always cling to materials. You never think about spiritual now. You're different today. You come here not for material, except for the lunch, I guess. You're not coming for material. You want enlightenment. You want something you understand. You want to ask the whys of life. That's not easy. How many people really come for enlightenment? People go to, like, pleasures. People never, like, not very many people seek wisdom. They seek enjoyment of their senses. The eyes want to see beautiful things, ears want to listen to good music, the tongue always want to taste good food. The six senses always attach and cling to things they like. And they forever will be pursuing that kind of thing, even at the expense of hurting other people. That's what we call egoism. You become more and more egoistic. And they don't realize it. You've been creating all kinds of bad karma, and we don't realize it. Until maybe your mom and dad say, hey, sometimes you gotta be careful, you have to be considerate. Then sometimes you do good things, good action, good speech. At the end of the day, every day you say, okay, I'm meditating now, it's 10:30. Before I go to sleep, I'm meditating. What did I do wrong today? Is there anything I'm so egoistic about it? Maybe I should be more altruistic. Did I hurt anybody? Who would do that? Who would do a reflection of what he has done in the daytime? Maybe a reflection of, have I got this? Have I got that? Do I achieve this? Should I get more? Should I get to be better? Or I hate this guy, I love this guy. What do you do when you reflect on? Do you do reflection? Or you just don't care? Nobody even cared about these things. They don't want to ask the whys of life. Here, you're listening to something that answers questions like why? How do I get enlightened? How do I How do I improve on my wisdom? Not just attaching and clinging to material. Depending on clinging, the process of becoming arises. Because you cling to things, you perform bad deeds, you're creating karma, and then in this life, keep on creating karma with the tainted consciousness at old age, when you're 100 years old, in a nursing home, you died. And you carry that tainted consciousness to the next life. The process of becoming the next life. The karmic energy pull you to the next life. To the next life, you go through the same loop. You're at the bottle stage. And you see the light, you zoom into another womb again. That's your mother again. That mother could be your former sister, your former grandmom. And that dad that you have could be your granddad. We don't know. We always have some unfinished relationship that we have to fulfill, that we come back again. In other words, we always have previous debts that we have to repay. Or we come back to receive the creditors owe us something. We want to receive back, get even with them. So they pay you or you pay them. In emotions, in monetary terms. So there's a lot of unfinished relationships that you have to live up to. You have two sisters, and how come each sister treat you a little differently? One sister loves you a lot more than the other sister. The other sister hates you. Why? Because you owe her something in your previous life. Why did your sisters love you? Because she owe you. You've been good, kind to her in previous life. How come husband and wife fight, and some husband and wife, they're so dear to each other? All has reasons for it, not without any reason. But how does it teach us? What kind of lesson we learn from this? You are the creator of your own destiny. You got to be careful in your thought, in your thinking, in your words, in your action. Don't create any bad karma anymore. You be careful of whatever, be careful of your thought, be mindful of your thought. Why do we learn meditation? Why do we learn walking meditation and meditating? Because we want to know how we think. If every thought is in your control, then what? Then you can select. Then you know what is wrong, what is right. You only do the right thing, not the wrong thing. Because when your mind is not under control, you're creating bad karma. Of course, given you know what is good, given that you have to know what is good, what is bad for you. So meditation is to put your mind under your control. The more you put your mind under control and you know what is good and what is right, the more you will do the right thing. The more successful, the more happy you will be. Meditation is to put your own mind under your own control. And then you say, how does it help me to get more? Some people say, how does getting my mind under control, how does it help me? Let me tell you, if you can get your mind under control, put aside religion, put aside enlightenment. If you can get your mind under control, you know what happened? You have more concentration. When you have more concentration, you know what happened? What happened if a student has very intensive concentration? He will be an A student. Because he concentrates in reading one page, he only spent about 10 minutes. You're not concentrating, you spend half an hour on one page. But if he's concentrating, he spent only 5 minutes or even 3 minutes. He finished a book in 2 hours. You finish a book in a week because of lack of concentration. So putting aside religion, putting aside enlightenment, if you increase your concentration, you will be the best student. If an employee has intensive concentration, he's the best employee.